Please open your ears, open your hearts for the reading of the good news found in the Gospel of John, chapter 14, verses 22 through 27. Then Judas, not Judas Iscariot, said, "But Lord, why do you intend to show yourself to us and not to the world?" Jesus replied, "Anyone who loves me will obey my teaching. My Father will love them, and we will come to them and make our home with them. Anyone who does not love me will not obey my teaching. These words you hear are not my own. They belong to the Father who sent me. All this I have spoken while still with you. But the Advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and will remind you of everything I have said to you. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled and do not be afraid." The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Please pray with me. Oh, Heavenly Father, protect me from me and hide me behind the cross. May the words that I speak this morning and thoughts that we together share be acceptable in your sight. Oh, Lord, my strength and my Redeemer. Amen. Well, with deepest apologies to Bob Dylan, how many roads must a man walk down before you can call him a man? How many seas must a white dove sail before she sleeps in the sand? Yes, and how many times must those cannonballs fly before they're forever banned? The answer, my friend, is blowing in the wind. The answer is blowing in the wind. Thank you. I needed that help. You know, in the turbulent 60s, an older cousin of mine in Lubbock spent a whole lot of time in coffee houses singing the folk songs of Bob Dylan, Joan Baez, Phil Ox, and, of course, Peter, Paul, and Mary. Songs that cried out for peace in troubled times. Most of the songs that she sang pointed out to the lack of peace, but they offered few answers. Dylan wrote that the times they are a-changing, but if we look back, not much has changed. We still live in a war-torn, troubled world. And until Christ returns, we will continue to have wars and rumors of wars. I think at times the only thing that may have changed might be our vocabulary. We have new fearful words these days that we see on the 6 o'clock and 11 o'clock news that we read in our paper. Words such as Al-Qaeda, suicide bombings, dirty bombs, the Taliban, Jihad, Anthrax, SARS, Homeland Security, and High Alert. It feels at times that these are anxious days. One thing I think that we have learned is that the absence of war does not bring us peace. And neither does material prosperity. We seek peace, yet we fail in our efforts to attain peace until we encounter the source of peace. To reject the peace that God offers is to embrace despair. And there are times when life can bring us to that point, doesn't it? Sometimes it feels like all we have is combating helplessness, and we just want to know, how do we get peace? How do we find it? How do we keep it? I recall the story of a little girl who, back when trains were the real popular mode of transportation, she was taking her first train ride with her parents, and as night descended, the mother took the girl, who was quite fearful, and placed her on the upper bunk of the sleeper. She told her little girl that up there she would be nearer to God and that God would watch over her. As silence enveloped the young lady, she became even more afraid, and she called softly, "Mommy, are you there?" "Yes, dear," came the response. A little later, in a louder voice, "Daddy, are you there too?" "Yes, I am," came the reply. And this was repeated several times and several times until one of the passengers that was sharing the sleeper car finally lost his patience and shouted, "Yes, we're all here, your father, your mother, your brother, and all your aunts and cousins. Now settle down and go to sleep." There was a moment of silence, and then in hushed tones, the little girl asked, "Mommy, was that God?" You know, you might be someone who have never had many doubts about God's presence in your life. You might be someone who has always felt the comfort from God and had little doubt about God's hand on your shoulder, steering you as you walk your journey. If you are one of these people, you have been truly blessed. For most people are not that aware. Most people fear the darkness. They fear the day. They fear other people. They fear the law. They fear families, friends, enemies. They fear life and death. You name it. For many of us, fear is all around us. So Jesus made it clear to his disciples that he wanted them to have peace. Peace that he was going to leave with them. I recently read through a book of Job. And if there was ever someone with troubles, I think we have to admit it was poor Job. Yet in spite of his pain, in spite of his circumstances, which he did not understand, Job was able to confidently declare, "I know that my Redeemer lives. I know that after this body has decayed, I will see God." Job didn't understand why he had been dealt the hand that he had. But he was assured and stayed confident that he belonged to God. I ask you this morning, I ask you, my family, where does true peace come from? From the God of peace, Christ tells us. In me, Christ says, you will have peace. In this world you will have trouble, but take heart, because I have overcome the world. You know, in the ancient Hebrew language, the word used for this is shalom. In Israel, it is a greeting, shalom achayim. Peace be with you. In Arabic, it's a salam achayim. I think it's too bad at times that the Jews and the Arabs can't say these two words very similar to each other. You know, shalom refers to the state of integrity and harmony, serenity and completeness within a person's life. Peace is not just merely the absence of struggle, but it's the abiding presence of calm that comes from Christ. When we trust in God, the Holy Spirit places in us a sense of peace and confidence, which Paul describes as a fruit of the Spirit. Paul says that unbelievers may enjoy a comfortable life, but the most they can attain is a false sense of security. Jesus tells us and his followers, "Peace I leave you, my peace I give you. Do not let your hearts be troubled. And do not be afraid." Too many people try to anesthetize their pain, but they have to eventually face life and eternity. I think people lack peace because they seek the wrong source. Isaiah tells us, why spend your money on that which doesn't satisfy? And Jesus tells us about a man who figured his wealth could buy him peace so that he could then take life easy. But if we remember in the scripture, God tells this man, you fool, this very night your life will be forfeit. You can sleep in a drugstore, but only God can give you peace. True rest is found in knowing God. Psalm chapter 4, verse 8 says, I will lie down in peace and sleep, for you alone, O Lord, will keep me safe. So if we have this peace, and sometimes we need to ask ourselves, why do believers at times have a sense of lacking this peace that Christ gives you? Sometimes maybe it's a conscience, sometimes it's just unrest, maybe it's guilt over a minor sin or neglecting the disciplines of Christian life. Thomas Watson observes, slacken the strings of a violin and the music is spoiled. As Christians slack and deviate from their duty, they spoil the sweet music of peace in their souls. As the fire goes out, the peace cools. I found an interesting on this story I found as I was researching for this. It said over 20 years ago, a married couple, they were very concerned. They'd reached that point in their life where they were very comfortable, but they were very fearful of all that was going on in their neighborhood and the unrest, and they felt fearful and never at peace. So they concerned about the threat of war, and they were decided that they were going to research and find the safest place in the world in which they could retire. They studied and traveled and spent over a year trying to find this place, and finally they found the place. On Christmas, they sent their old pastor at the church a postcard from their new home, the Falkland Islands, just prior to the war between Argentina and England. Where can we go to find peace? Jesus says, come unto me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Psalm 119 tells us we also find peace through studying Christ's word and God's word. Great peace have those who love God's law. And we find peace by declaring war on sin. Some people have a mistaken view of peace, that in making decisions, if they feel a sense of peace in their hearts, they figure God has given them the go-ahead. This could be too often subjective. The number one place to find God's will is in His Word. I think peace also has to do at times with our relationship with God. Paul writes, since we have been declared righteous through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. This is the peace of reconciliation, an end of conflict between two parties that were formerly at war with each other. Pastor Spurgeon wrote, God cannot give us peace apart from Himself, because it's not there. There is no such thing as peace without God. Anything that resembles peace that does not include God is counterfeit. But peace works. Regardless of our situation, we can have peace. We may want God to change our circumstances, when He wants to change, what He does want to change is our character, who we are, our relationship with Him. A good friend of mine served in Desert Storm several years ago, and he told me that the night that they went into battle, that he felt an amazing sense of peace, even though he knew he was going into harm's way. We talked about this, and we didn't attribute this inner calm to any special John Wayne type of courage. but to God given him a sense of his presence, purpose, and protection. He knew that his life was in God's hands. Our hearts carry within our own sense of war or peace, depending upon who is in control. Is Christ in control of this, or are we? I read of a young soldier during the Korean War who was laid dying on Heartbreak Ridge. A chaplain came up to him and whispered, "Can I help you, son?" And the Marine replied, "No, sir, it's okay." The chaplain then saw the source of the dying Marine's peace. He was clutching a New Testament. He had it in his bloody hand, and his finger was placed on the assurance of John 14:27. "My peace I give to you." Peace involves harmony, being able to live with people from diverse backgrounds. With the fellowship of believers, peace means working for unity. Peace should rule our relationships. Thomas Merton wrote, "Man is not at peace with his fellow men because he is not at peace with himself. And he is not at peace with himself because he's not at peace with God." Our closing hymn today was written by a man named Horatio Spafford. It was composed by Philip Bliss. This hymn was written after several traumatic, incredible bad events occurred in Spafford's life. The first event was the death of his only son in 1871 at the age of 4. And this was followed shortly by the Great Chicago Fire, which ruined Spafford financially. See, he had been a successful lawyer, and he had invested heavily in some real estate in that part of Chicago that burned to the ground. Then his business interests were further hit by the economic downturn in 1873, a time in which he had planned to travel to Europe with his family. A late change of plan, he sent the family ahead while he was delayed taking care of some business concerning zoning problems. Zoning problems that followed that Great Chicago Fire. While the ship carrying his family was crossing the Atlantic, it collided with another sea vessel and sank rapidly, with all four of his daughters drowning. His wife Anna survived and sent him the now famous telegram, "Saved alone." Shortly afterwards, as Spafford traveled to meet his grieving wife, he was inspired to write these words as his ship passed directly over the spot where his daughters had died. "When peace like a river attends all my ways, when sorrows like sea billows roll, whatever my lot, thou hast taught me to say, it is well. It is well with my soul." Peace is what God wants for us, no matter what happens around us. God's peace is there to be ours. Take it. May God's peace rule in your hearts. Amen and amen. Let us pray. O Prince of Peace, we beseech you to bring us peace, first in our hearts and our homes, and then in this world. We pray that hard hearts will return to tenderness, that evil intentions will transform into mercifulness. Father, bring our world to its knees, for there can be that only way that we can find peace. Help us to show that because we are loved by you, we can love one another. Help us to live peaceably with each other. And we know that peacemakers are especially blessed. And we know that we're never out of work. Make us instruments of your peace for your glory. And all the people said, Amen.